Welcome, people. You're now listening to the Pacifica Board Audit Committee for the year 2013 on the date June 25th, 2013. My name is Fred Blair. I was elected chair last Sunday, and our recording secretary is Margie Wilkinson. I don't think she's present, but I think the first order of business is to find out who's currently take a role, which I'm going to do myself. Is Margie on?
This is Jane Gatewood. If you want, I can take the role for you, Fred.
I'd appreciate that. That would take a load off my back.
Okay, from KPFA, Don Goldmacher. Donald, are you there? Hello? Donald was on. Janet Coburn?
I'm still on.
Oh.
Janet is present. Donald is present.
Yep.
Okay. Margie?
A little louder, please.
Okay. Margie.
Is Margie Wilkinson with us yet? From KPFA, Brenda Medina? Medina?
It's Medina, and I'm present.
Okay. Medina. Fred Blair?
Present.
Lawrence Reyes?
Present.
From KPFT, Melinda Eilidon? Nancy Henschel? Robert Mark?
Present.
From WBAI, Carolyn Burden?
I'm present.
Frank Lefever?
Here.
William Hairwagon?
Present.
From WPFW, Luzette King? Campbell Johnson? Jane Gatewood is present. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Chair, point of order. Chair, point of order.
10 members present.
Chair, point of order.
Okay, what's your point of order, Lawrence?
My point of order was Ms. Lizette King. Was she accepted by her LSV to serve on this committee yet? Or is this just a process of her substituting somebody without having the approval of LSV?
I'm sorry, may I speak, Fred?
Jane, you may speak since you're the one who brought it up.
Oh, I'm sorry. We were told that Benito Diaz was our director representative on this committee, but Benito informed me after our last meeting that he was not on this committee and he was not available to join this committee. And so we have three other directors. Tony Norman is member of our finance committee, so he's not eligible to be a member of this committee. And so I let all the parties know that we need a director to be a member of this committee. And Luzette agreed, and Katia is not able to join. So since Luzette agreed and she is the only other director who is eligible and willing to join, then that's the situation. And it's up to the PMB. I was told to send the information to the to the chair and vice chair, and so that I understand that's the process. I don't know.
Brenda, for a point of clarification.
Okay, Brenda, what's your point?
Is that Benito would actually have to email our list stating that he is no longer, he will no longer be able to serve on the audit committee.
He told me he wasn't a member.
Yeah,
period.
But if he tells you, that's one thing. It has to be written.
Okay.
Hearsay is just that, hearsay. So in order for it to be official, it would have to be written saying that he withdraws or he decides to withdraw or whatever it may be in order for Luzette to come back onto the committee.
Yeah.
This is getting way too formal. I think if the chair of the WPFW local station board and Benito I'm sorry.
The director representatives are chosen by the PMB, not the LSB.
Excuse me.
So it's really just, it's basically she's the only eligible member who's willing to serve, but I appreciate the point of order that Benita should make. official, notify these people officially that he doesn't know where the confusion came from. He doesn't consider himself to be a member. He's not willing and able to be a member, and Luzette has agreed. So I can help make that happen. I'll explain to everybody that does need to be in writing so that there's no question. That's not a problem.
Thank you, Jane. In any case, the PNB will notify us of any changes. And it's immaterial for tonight, because what is the count of people present, Jane?
Well, the chair, the only reason I brought it up as a point of order, because she was counted in the quorum call. That's the only reason.
Okay. But in any case, we already have quorum. We have sufficient numbers for quorum tonight. The quorum is 8, and we have 10 people present. Benito is not one of those, and so we can proceed with this meeting without him being present. And the PNB will clear this up at some point. I'm sure of that. So can we proceed on the draft agenda? Okay. So we've called to order, and we've made a roll call. What do people think of the agenda that I sent out? Does anyone want to make a modification to it? Hello?
This is Janet Stack.
Okay, Janet. You were on the stack already, but that was before we went live. So yes. I'm creating a new stack at this point. So Janet, you're the first one on it. You have the floor.
Okay. So item 3, decision on next committee meeting date. I believe I can't remember what date now. Two meetings before this, maybe the first time we met, we decided that the 4th. And I don't know how official that was, but we agreed that the 4th Tuesday of every month would be our meeting date. So why do we need to make a decision?
Do people want to reaffirm that? And we just and from now on that would place the next meeting at I'm bringing up my calendar here. The 4th Tuesday of July would be the 23rd.
Can I speak to them? I'm sorry, Jane Gateway, for the sec.
Jane, you have the floor.
I think it would be worthwhile to have it on the agenda in case anybody wants to suggest the possibility of a meeting prior to that if the audit is available. So I would say that it's a good idea to have it on the agenda.
Janet Stack.
You have the floor, Janet.
Well, Jane, I understand. I think I understand your suggestion, but the agenda that Fred sent out talked about the next committee meeting. I don't know whether that would be the next regular committee meeting, but if we decide on a special, I would think between now and that 4th, is it? Yeah, the 4th Tuesday, that would be a special meeting. Just a suggestion that that's what that would be rather than regular meetings.
I should change that point rather than making a decision on the meeting date. It should have just announced the next meeting date and move on. So the next meeting date is officially the July 23rd. And I assume at the same time. Okay, does anybody have any additions or changes to the agenda at this point?
Yes, William. I'd like to add something regarding meetings.
Okay. You have the floor, William.
Okay, I'd like to add a motion to, since these meetings are recorded, and as someone explained earlier, that they get use Skype, and so it's recorded and transmitted. The May 22nd meeting that we had, that never got streamed, I move that recorded meeting be put in the archives for everyone to hear.
There's a lot of back and forth on that discussion on that, and I gather that basically Otis ruled that the recording is not available. I don't know, if that's exactly true, but I can, if people want to make a motion to the fact that we put in the archive the May 22nd meeting, I'll see if we, if we can somehow recover it.
I second that motion.
Well, this is just to put it on the agenda, unless now's the time to talk about it. This is William.
Okay, you wanted to add that to the agenda as a point. You want to add that in new business under item number 6?
Fine with me.
Okay. Any other changes to the agenda?
I have a question and maybe a change. The executive session had been announced for 10 o'clock, and this has suggested a change to 9:10. And my concern is that unless we have very good communication with the person who's running the stream, that person will continue broadcasting up until 10 o'clock, which, according to this draft agenda, would include part of our executive session.
Okay. Jane, do you want to respond to that, since you requested that we move the executive session up? I don't know if we have that much material to cover tonight, but in the open stream, but it's a valid point.
Chair, Brenda for the staff.
Brenda, you have the floor.
Thank you.
And then Jane Gatewood for the SAC. Thank you.
So a quick thing announcement. I'm trying to figure out how to send it to the group, but according to the Brown Act, process on the audit is not reason to be in executive session because it's strictly process related. Now, if we talked about, and even if we talked about what's in the audit, that's public information. But in terms of process, that should not be an executive session. It should be in the open stream.
Unless we're talking about personnel or proprietary information within Pacifica, those are only, there's only four or five conditions in which you can go into executive session.
That is correct.
Understood.
A follow-up to this is, if it's going to be open rather than executive, will Summer or Raul be advised that it's open, not executive?
I'm going to try and call Summer right now. I call
point of order.
Go ahead.
I do not believe the audit is anything but proprietary until it is approved by the PNB. I think it's proprietary up to that point.
Jane Gatewood for the stack.
Jane, you have the floor. That was William that just spoke. Jane, you have the floor.
Yeah, my main concern is hoping that we could complete our entire agenda this evening within 2 hours. I didn't want to...
Can't hear her.
Jane, we can barely hear you, by the way.
I didn't want to have 2 hours of open session followed by executive session. So if there was a need to move into executive session, I was just simply asking that we find a way to deal expeditiously with everything in the open session and then move smoothly into executive session so that we can complete all of our business within 2 hours. That was the intent of my request as far as the changing of time. I don't know why we would be thinking about having a meeting that's more scheduling a meeting that lasts more than 2 hours. That seems very, very bad planning to me. But the as far as my concerns really have to do with what I believe are personnel questions. And so the questions that I personally wanted to hear answers to, I know are things that we should only talk about in executive session because they would touch on personnel questions. But other people may have other questions that should, at this point, I don't know what we're going to be able to accomplish tonight anyway, except maybe planning what our next steps are.
Donald Stack, please.
Donald, you're on the floor right now.
Okay. Well, let me make a couple of points. It's now 6:09 p.m., and we've spent the last almost 40 minutes talking about process, which to me is enormous waste of time, enormously waste of all of our times. This should not be that complicated to get a meeting underway. And as to the issue of going into executive session, I just want to support, I think it was Brenda who said, we should never be in executive session unless there is a specific grounds to do so. And when that occurs, the chair can absolutely say we need to go into executive session to discuss this specific issue. And finally, it seems a little silly for the audit committee to be meeting before the auditor comes out with a report, unless it's just to get our act together and know how we're going to function. Those are my 3 cents.
Robert Mark Stack.
Janet, point of process.
Excuse me. Sorry, I was had my mic muted while Donald was speaking. I was actually got Summer on the line here, and I'm trying to find out if anybody is going to be able to, from management, is going to be able to come on tonight and talk, give us any information. I have some information which I would prefer to give in executive session, not in open session, but I can speak in open session. Hold on a second while I try and confirm this, see if we can get anybody at all on. Hold on.
On the rotor chair?
I think you left a call.
You left a call?
Just briefly, he said he was going to check in with...
okay.
Summer, find out.
I'll be back.
This is Jane Gatewood. Could I ask who was just speaking, the last speaker?
Jane, is your question regarding what you emailed the list the other day?
No. I just asked who was the last speaker. I didn't hear. Who was speaking last?
No, your questions regarding going into executive session, do they have to do with the email you sent about the questions you had for the auditor?
Yeah, just simply because they deal with personnel questions, that's all.
And just to let you know, the general personnel questions, from what I'm reading, because I'm rereading your email.
Hello.
Those are not grounds for executive session.
Hello, everybody. I just finished talking to Summer. She's very busy, but she's going to come on in 5 minutes into the open session and talk about the status of the audit.
Janet, point of order. I said point of process. I think I meant point of order.
Okay. Is that Janet or Jane?
Yes. Well, Janet, and we were discussing the agenda. We have not approved the agenda yet. And so that's what my concern is about.
And so,
even before we bring Summer in, we haven't approved the agenda.
Robert Markstack.
Robert, you're on.
Yeah, I would like to know and possibly ask that it be added to the agenda that we have some kind of initial discussion about the next audit. and hiring the auditor therefore. It seems to me we're getting a little late in the year and we need to start that process.
Thank you, Robert. Janet, did you speak already?
Yes, I did.
Yes, Lawrence, what's the point of order?
Okay, you have mentioned that there was that you felt more comfortable going into executive session because of the information you had. And I'm just wondering, can you just give us the general nature of that, of what you want to discuss in executive session?
Yes, I had a short conversation with the auditor on June 17th at his request. He sent me an email requesting that he speak with me on June 17th, and I just wanted to convey to the committee why he wanted to talk to me. The situation has actually been resolved itself, but I think the committee should know. And I think it doesn't involve any specific personnel, so I could probably say in open session. But in any case, I think we need to deal with this agenda, and before summer comes, before summer comes on the line. Janet, you had the floor, please.
I wanted us to approve the agenda, or at least finish with approving the agenda.
Point of order.
Yes.
The agenda cannot be approved as stated. It needs to be amended because we're already past the adjournment time stated in the agenda.
We'll all move the adjournment time to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Is that your amendment? Who was that? Was that Frank?
That is Frank LePever. Yeah.
Is there any opposition to that, moving the adjournment time to 10 p.m.? If not,
Janet, point of process. So there have been a number of corrections or changes to the agenda. Adjournment time is one of them. Do we approve one at a time or the whole agenda?
If we're making amendments, I'm trying to speed things up, but if we're making amendments, we have to approve those one at a time.
Point of order, just ask for objections.
Is there any objection to changing the adjournment time to 10 p.m. Eastern time? No, then it's been changed. Okay, what was the other amendment to the agenda?
One of them, Janet, I don't know if you want to. You asked a question. One of them is on item three that it, instead of a decision on next committee meeting, it just would be next committee meeting would be the fourth Tuesday in July. And then there was something about item six I didn't catch, that somebody suggested that something be added. And then also a change in the German.
Lawrence back.
Yes, Lawrence, you presented a something you wanted to add to new business.
Well, I see that on item four on the agenda, we have the status of the 2012 Pacifica audit report. And if we're not getting any information today, then I would like to keep that on the agenda.
This is Summer. I'm on the call.
Okay. Summer will give us a report on the status of the audit.
Robert Stack, please.
Robert, do you have the floor?
Yeah, I'd also ask that we have a preliminary discussion about the hiring of an auditor for 2013's audit.
You want to make that add that to new business on item six?
Yes, please.
Is there any objections to adding that to new business, the preliminary discussion of the selection of the auditor for next year? It's not, okay, it's added.
William.
Okay, William, what you have the floor.
We had already approved to add to six. What you couldn't remember was the May 22nd meeting to find out if that's available to be put in the archive.
I think that do we need to have a discussion of that on the agenda?
To have the discussion in number six. That's what was approved, and you couldn't remember what was approved to be in number six. That was
I'm desperately writing all these changes down. Okay, item C to new business under item six, discussion of finding the recording from May 22nd meeting. Is there any objection to adding that to the agenda? I hear no objection is added. Is there any more? Can we accept the agenda at this point?
The same morning about 6 weeks ago.
Janet.
Okay, Janet.
Back.
Okay, you're on the stack. You've got the floor right now.
Okay, so my understanding is there are several things that we are suggesting or proposing to the agenda to change it. One is under item three, that the next committee meeting, which would be the fourth Tuesday in July. Not discuss it, but that's what it would be. Then item six, there are two things that would be added. One would be discuss the preliminary discussion of a new auditor for next year, and also discuss adding the May 22nd meeting recording to the archives. And then finally, from what I can understand, change the adjournment time for tonight's meeting to 10 p.m. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, you've summarized it succinctly. I haven't heard objections to adding those items to, so they've been added to the agenda. Do people want to accept the agenda as is at this point?
Yes.
Okay, does anybody object? We have an agenda. Okay. I had added, so we're on point number one here, the status of the election of the chair. My understanding is that last Friday, Margie, Aki Tanaka, and Janet went to the national office, and they got one of the staff members there to print out the ballots, and they held the election for chair. My understanding was that the vote was 8 for Fred Blair and 5 for Campbell Johnson. By a single transferable vote, I won on the first round. So I'm your new chair for this year. I'm trying to summarize my understanding. I think everybody was emailed the results. And I thanked Margie, Janet, and Aki for observing the election. And we have a chair.
Janet. Janet Stack.
Okay, Janet.
Just a correction. I believe it went to a second round. And you won on the second round.
Okay, I'm corrected. The details are not in the email, but I assume everybody got that email. So we've done our duty by following the bylaws and doing a single transferable vote election, actually a instant runoff election, and it works. I think we've taken up the 2 minutes on that item, unless somebody has something to add. Does anybody want to add anything to that? Okay. Have people gotten Margie's minutes from the last meeting, June 11th? Does anybody have any corrections for those minutes?
Robert Marks, Tech.
Okay, Robert, you've got the floor.
Yes, I move that we suspend the rules and allow Summer to address us out of order so we can get her off the phone and back to her office.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm being too formal here. Is there any objection by any of the committee members to that? Okay, hearing none. Summer, you have the floor.
Sure. I mean, the update is fairly minimal. The auditors are in full progress. We paid off a significant chunk of their balance to see to it that they would continue working as quickly as possible. I think I've reported to this committee before about the overall disarray of the books and the massive amount of reconciliation that's had to occur. I believe the incoming CFO, when he first came on board, thought that might not have been the case, but then he went to New York with the present auditors to review the work and documentation of the previous auditors. And
slow down a little bit.
I'm sorry?
Can you slow down a little bit? I'm having trouble catching what you're saying.
Sure, sorry.
Point of information?
Yes?
Janet, sorry. Is this executive session or not?
No.
This is not executive session that we're in, so I'm going to limit, you know, what I say, but I think some of these things have been said on open session before, so that's why I'm sort of recapping, but I'm not going to go into any significant details as to what was, you know, what needed to be done where. But both the present auditors and our CFO went to New York, I guess, a couple weeks ago by now, and met with the prior auditors and took a look at their supporting documentation. As far as I know and all communications with the auditors, they have everything that they need. They've been doing testing on various aspects of the books with the various stations throughout, you know, the last couple of months, really. It started out where they wanted to test a very broad range of items, and then that was narrowed, and then sometimes they weren't necessarily happy with what they told us. They tested some other things. So, you know, it's been like the other audit. You know, they've been testing different aspects of things. So my present communication, I don't have the exact ETA. I don't believe they're going to meet the June 30th deadline, but they know that we have one. And my last communication with Paul O'Grady was last week. But, you know, they're working quickly on it, and I believe they have everything that they need from us. So it's just a matter of them putting it together. And, you know, the books are clean and reconciled, and the gaps were closed by the accountants. So at least all of that is has been done properly for this audit, as far as I can tell. So I can take questions. They obviously have to be somewhat limited because we're on open session, and I can't stay out too long. And there will be some things that you have questions that I don't have the answers for tonight also, but we'll certainly be happy to update you at the next audit committee meeting. And hopefully by then we have a completed audit, I hope. Fred, are there any questions?
Brenda, for a question. Hello?
Hi, Brenda. Go ahead, Brenda. And I'm on the call because Raul's on the Finance Committee call. And
okay.
The meetings are at the same time.
Okay. So my question is, when should we expect to see the auditor's report so we can look over it as the audit committee?
As I just said, they haven't given me a date yet. And as soon as you know, we'll let the audit committee chair know so that he can let the rest of you know, okay?
This is old. I'm curious, the previous auditor, who hired them exactly?
Well, Ross Wisdom had worked for the organization over a number of years with an interruption during which another firm did the audits for a couple of years. So it was this audit committee, and I was involved with that process as well in terms of it was only the only two contenders for that audit were Ross and the firm that had Tony Pohl's firm that had done the audits the 2 years prior. So, and Ross Wisdom had performed the audits for several different years prior to Tony Pohl's firm.
Long fact.
The organization, but, well, neither here nor there. The present audit firm seems to be doing a very good job.
Lawrence Stack.
Go for it.
Lauren Sack.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Lauren.
I'm sorry.
I apologize.
Go ahead, Lauren.
Oh, I didn't hear anything, so that's why I didn't speak.
Yeah, I'm thinking Brad was going to acknowledge you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. So in regards to what's being audited right now, what are the major areas of concern?
I'm sure they're no different than all of the previous year's audits. The same.
If you could give me something to go with, Summer, I need something a little bit more concise.
I'll try to answer your question, Lawrence, if you allow me to.
No, go ahead.
I can only, some of the things which, you know, I can be more explanatory in closed session, obviously, because audit firms also list things in their management letters, which go to the board and to management in the hopes of improvement. But in the previous audits, we have been cited where it says repeat, repeat comment. Thank you, that's it. We've been cited for lack of internal controls and various accountancy issues year after year after year after year. Those have been problems. As everyone, I think, is fairly well knows in terms of public session, you know, KPFK not having a lockbox has been a subject of public meetings for at least the past 2 years. Things like that come up in audits. And then, of course, we had the going concern issue, which is predominantly Democracy Now. There's, you know, more than $1.5 million receivable owed to Democracy Now. There isn't a lot of movement on that debt situation with Ms. Goodman. And that's predominantly what's given us the going concern the last 2 years. I will make another go-round at that. I certainly addressed some of our other debt issues and renegotiated contracts to save us a significant amount of money between now and the end of the year. But without resolving that obligation to Democracy Now, we are likely to have a going concern again for this year's audit as well, because it's still a threat to the survival of the organization from a financial perspective. The other major debts would be balances that are still owing to law firms for various pieces of litigation that have occurred over the last several years. You know, we've brought down those balances somewhat significantly since I've been in this position, but there's still, you know, a significant amount there. But we've been told by all the other auditors that Democracy Now! Is the going concern. So if that were off of our books, we wouldn't be in that position. So I would say that's probably still the largest looming issue in terms of a debt ratio issue. And then the other issues are internal controls in terms of the functionality of the business operations of the organization, which seem to have been in disarray for several years. So I hope we'll see improvement. I hope by the time we do the 2013 audit, those types of issues will not continue to be cited.
Summer, this is Brenda.
Thank you.
And I'll wait if somebody else has another question.
Sure. Anyone else? Okay, Brenda, go ahead.
Okay. So Fred Blair was kind enough to give us some management letters that the auditors gave in the previous years, but unfortunately we don't have any audit management letters from 2011 and 2012.
Well, there would be no management letter for 2012, Brenda, until the audit is completed, part of the audit. Okay, that should be part of what was distributed to the audit committee last year. So, Fred, maybe get with my office. There is a management letter for 2011, and the 2012 management letter will be the one that comes from this present audit firm. And generally speaking, you know, auditors will list any number of deficiencies that they find in the course of an audit that they think should be brought to attention for corrective action. So the thing is to take the corrective action. And of course, the debt issue is a separate issue, which is, you know, requires cooperation from third parties. So.
Robert Mark Stack, please.
Robert, you have the floor.
Laurie Stack also.
I'm curious, given the issue this year of the auditors not being able to substantiate expenses, income, I don't know what they can't substantiate, but it's been difficult. Why, using the current technology, could not all of our financial documents, invoices, receipts, contracts, everything, at each station be scanned and submitted to the CFO so that there is at least a PDF of documentation for every expenditure in centralized in the CFO's office?
Well, that is something in terms of implementation of policies that we've been working on before the CFO got here, and now that we have one, I hope will continue, is that there has been a lot of resistance on the part of some local stations to Well, quite frankly, I mean, we have stations that we don't find out they're in trouble until they end up in court, okay? They're not paying their bills, and they don't tell us they're not paying their bills. So this has been, you know, it requires a corporate cultural change to have true administrative oversight of what's happening at the individual units without people feeling that somehow you're usurping their authority. And in reality, when you get down to it, frequently it's because people are not necessarily doing what should be done or are not effectively handling things. So yes, those bills should be coming. We're dealing with some of those issues at the East Coast stations in terms of, well, particularly with DC, getting control over the bills that aren't being paid, what's being paid, why it's so difficult to actually make some of these things happen effectively. So you're on the right track, Robert, and that's what we're moving towards, is to have complete and total oversight. I mean, there are things required by the California Corporations Code in terms of maintaining complete and whole copies of the membership records up to the national office, which are, A, legally required, and, B, from a nonprofit perspective, no-brainers. We don't work our databases like we're a nonprofit. We don't utilize them for donor mailings in any efficient manner. There's just a lot of stuff that hasn't happened, and I'm working on changing some of those things, and hopefully we'll continue to make those changes so that we don't have, there's no, in my opinion, no excuse to have the same repeat comments several years in a row. You address those issues and fix them. So I hope that we'll look forward in another year and see that everything's been somewhat effectively addressed in terms of just this administrative stuff. Lawrence?
Yeah, in regards to it, I appreciate you, Summer, getting into some depth into some areas of concern that I've been having for years. In regards to the elections, is that being audited as well, and are we going to have elections this year? I don't know if that's on topic or...
Well, what do you mean by audited? I don't understand that part of the question, Lars.
Is that one of the areas of concern? Because we're not, there hasn't been national election supervisor hired or, where is all of that at?
Sure, none of those things are of concern to the auditors. They're not responsible to see to it that we're in compliance with our bylaws. They're responsible to see things like we still haven't paid $25,000 owed to the previous election supervisor for last year's elections, at looking what our debt load is and, you know, how our ratios are looking. They're responsible for those sort of things, but I don't think they would have a comment to make one way or another. They might have a comment to make if we dug ourselves deeper into debt in order to hold elections this year when we owe so many people money that it is a challenge to keep us out of court, quite frankly, a challenge that I work with every single week in terms of dealing with people we owe money to. But I don't think they're going to, frankly, have anything to say one way or the other in terms of the other aspects of the elections. It's not on topic for audit, but I'll try to answer your question, Lawrence, in terms of are we going to hold elections this year. We are in the process of laying off a large number of staff in New York. We owe everybody money, and it really is about making payment arrangements with a large number of vendors that were owed high balances when I arrived in this position. I think that we'll probably have to hold elections because of the bylaws, you know, in order to avoid litigation. But I think that if they can be postponed and done in the most streamlined and efficient fashion in the most cost-effective way, perhaps electronically, but something which doesn't cost $150,000 for an organization that is absolutely on the brink of financial collapse, frankly. I think that's what needs to happen, some balance between holding the elections and the ability to pay for them. So, and I hope we'll see some improvements in that area as well. You know, some intelligent changes to what we do in terms of raising money would obviously help us also. So.
Well, thank you for your candor.
I don't think they're gone forever, but I do think they're postponed until we figure out how we can pay for them, you know, and how to make them cheaper. You know, if we can do them less expensively, that'll certainly help.
Okay, anybody else want to ask a similar question?
Brenda?
Okay, Brenda.
Sorry that I was hoping that more people would ask questions. But anyways, my question is in regards to would the audit reveal which vendors we still owe money to and which vendors have been paid thus far? Or other entities that we work with?
Well, they don't necessarily break it down vendor by vendor. They break it down by category. So I think if you take a look at one of the previous year's audits, and actually the 990, the tax return, you'll see things of that nature in terms, you know, really large. You're not going to see, you know, your travel agent on there or something. I mean, tax returns and audits aren't designed to function in that fashion, but you will see overall balances, certainly. By category, though, again, not by individual vendor. So, any other questions? Okay, so Raul or I will update you as soon as we have an update and where we're at with the audit. I mean, things are moving along briskly and people are working, and we'll let you know as soon as we either have the, you know, as soon as they tell us that they're done and ready to have it reviewed, or, you know, where they're at. Okay, they'll issue their finding.
Summer,
this is Jane Gate with a quick question.
Sure. Hey, Jane.
Yeah, I was just wondering, so last year the audit committee met to review the audit prior to it being brought to the PMB. Do you anticipate us attempting that this year?
I don't see why not. I don't know when your next, when is your next meeting scheduled for?
Our next regular meeting is in 4 weeks, but we were talking about...
July 23rd. Okay, if they get something done soon enough where they say, hey, we're ready, I mean, there's everything you can convene a meeting sooner too, you know. We obviously have to get the audit to the CPB as quickly as possible, despite whatever the current article said last week, and I have spoken with the author since then, since it wasn't entirely accurate. You know, the Communications Act policy, they got that. That's one thing we've really done. We're not going to get any CPB money until the audit is completed, regardless of the CPB's audit and the discrete accounting practices and the revised AFRs. All that has to be done, but they still wouldn't release a dime unless the certified audit for last year's financials is completed. So we're under some considerable pressure, obviously, to get that to the CPB as soon as the auditors issue their findings. So we may have to do everything on a very abbreviated schedule once they say we've got, you know, that they're done. So, I mean, it does appear that they're doing quality work, and I would say that, well, maybe for the first time in a long time, we're going to have books that don't rely on someone in the office interpreting what they mean for the auditors, which seems to have been the case in the previous audits, and that's problematic in and of itself. So, I hope that, you know, I'd like to think at least the results we see will be, you know, really sufficient. So, Jane, as soon as they get us something, I'll let Fred know, okay? And if it's soon enough, you know, you all can have a special meeting probably, okay? So, and same thing for the PNB. Either way, though, I know we got to hot foot that thing off to the CPB as fast as we can, all right? So.
Okay. Summer, I assume that the audit is imminent within the next 2 or 3 weeks.
That's how I'm hoping and feeling based on all communications and, you know, everything that keeps going back and forth. I mean, they're aware of what our deadlines are, and there has, you know, there's been regular communication and and payments of money to make sure things keep moving, you know, things like that. So, so hopefully we will see it shortly, okay, and that they don't run into anything, you know. I mean, things can always arise, you know. Somebody from, you know, somebody can send something and they have to say, well, what's this? I have to deal with it. You know, anything can crop up, but they seem to have been getting those things out of the way fairly efficiently. So I hope that continues and they are able to issue their findings soon.
Thank you very much, Summer.
Thank you.
Thank you, Summer.
Thank you. And everyone have a good evening, please. Thank you for your hard work, and we'll get back in touch with you as soon as we hear from them, okay?
Hey, good night.
Good night.
Okay. Who's that? I'm sorry, somebody's voice chimed in but broke up. Somebody wants to be on the stack?
Janet's back.
Okay, Janet, you have the floor.
Okay, so we agreed to change the order of the agenda. We still did not, I don't think we approved the agenda.
I got the impression that we finally approved the agenda as amended. There were three amendments.
Okay, so the next item would be to approve the minutes.
Yes. And is Margie on the line? Is Margie on the line? Has everybody got, I Has everybody got Margie's minutes? I sent them out with the agenda this afternoon. I think Margie's minutes are fairly straightforward. Does anybody have a correction for the minutes? These are the minutes for June 11th, by the way.
This is Janet.
I would like to move to approve the minutes of June 11th as distributed.
Is there any objections to approving? I hear none, so they are approved. So I guess we're now at item number 5 on the agenda, which is an open discussion of audit issues. And
I'm sorry, Fred. I couldn't get to my unmute button fast enough for that approval, but the minutes show Melinda Eiley Doan as absent, and she did check in at that meeting. Oh, I'm sorry. It was the one before that she checked. I apologize. My mistake.
This is Frank.
No, it's Robert Mark.
Robert, I'm sorry, Robert. I'm getting used to people's voices, by the way.
No, the last meeting she didn't check in. The one before that she did, so it was my mistake.
That might have been the May 22nd meeting you're talking about that she checked in. Okay. Well, I have 10. I wasn't timing Summer's presentation, but we had set aside 10 minutes for that, and we probably exceeded that. We probably did 20 minutes. Do people want to have an open discussion of audit issues for the next 10 minutes?
Yeah, William for the stack.
Okay, William, you're on.
Thank you. I am of the impression, having listened over the years to various audit committees, that the business of the audit committee is, number one, to usually select the auditor, recommend it, and then number two, to review the audit once it's done. And then if there are any extra things, it's things we might decide to do, like Campbell was talking about Sarbanes-Oxley in prior years. Other committees did some other things. But those are the things we're interested in. We're not a finance committee. We're not reviewing the details of what happened. We just look at the results and look at any recommendations from the auditor and try to make sure they're implemented. I don't think we get involved in all the processes that go on at the stations and at the National Finance. Thank you.
Thank you, William. I would just add one more item is that one of our big tasks this year is to make a recommendation to the P&B whether to retain the current auditor or to replace the auditor. So that's one of our big...
That's for selecting the auditor, right. Do we want to keep the same one or do we want to do a search for a new one? That would be part of that process, yes. That's our number one thing to do, and number two is to review the audit and see if it's implementable, what are the suggestions that we make.
And actually, that's one of the items that we amended onto the new business tonight. And we'll discuss it, you know, when we get to it. Anybody else want to be on the stack and speak? Well, I guess I will at this point make a little bit of a report. I indicated just before Summer came on the line that I had a discussion with the auditor on June 17th at his request, and basically the problem was that he told me that the audit was going slowly, and the reason was that his audit firm had not been paid since the beginning of the year, therefore he had temporarily had to pull his staff off the audit until they were paid. I told him that I had a discussion with Summer and that she was getting together a payment for him, which subsequently took place, and his audit people are back on the job now. I don't know how many days they were off, but he felt that he needed to talk to the chair of the audit committee to convey that information. I think that the most important thing about that is it conveys the seriousness of our financial situation at this point in time, that money is very finding liquid funds is very difficult. And obviously, Summer her first priority is paying payroll. And if people, I would also like to report that at the June 11th Finance Committee, our new CFO gave a very substantial report on the financial situation within Pacifica, and I would like to recommend people listen to the audio, especially the first hour audio from that meeting. And that's all I really have to say. Anybody else would like to get on the stack and speak? Is the committee present?
Well, I'm here.
We're present. We're awake.
Okay. I didn't put people to sleep, did I? The silence is deafening. The silence was deafening, by the way.
Well, you're stunning people. That's what's going on.
Well, I think I could say that in open session, given that our CFO was actually revealing much more sensitive information in finance, and but I wanted to convey the that we are, as an institution, in a very serious situation, and. I really don't have much more to add to that. I felt very uncomfortable being placed in that position, since I am not management, but governance. But what I did was basically write a summary report and send it to Summer and our CFO, and left it at that. But the yes, William, you have the floor.
Yeah, I think the PMP might have been. Maybe you should have told them as well, because that's actually the foundation, is the Pacifica National Board. Management is management. That's staff. But if there's a problem as big as the auditor pulled his people off the audit, that should go to the Pacifica National Board. It should have gone to the Pacifica National Board as well. So in the future, I think that might be considered, if anything like that, again.
I really thank you, William, because I didn't think of that, but in the future, I will, when confronted with a situation like that, I will send it to the board. Somebody's pressing their keypad. Okay. Who's
Lawrence? Jack.
Lawrence, you have the floor.
Okay. I think the deafening, the silence that was so deafening, has a lot to do with. I think, you know, and I'm just going to speak for myself. The feeling of that we're just like lame ducks. I mean, it's almost not even purposeful to meet, because the fact that, you know, we can't. I mean, I appreciate the information that you provided, Fred. Really do. But
I didn't hear
we
that.
We should have had the opportunity to meet with the auditors to bring about concerns. I'm sure that if the auditor would have been on this call, you wouldn't have had the silence that you had tonight on this call. So I think that's something for us to take under advisement and to see what direction, other than recommending an auditor, this committee is going to take. I mean, if this committee is just going to be a committee to just recommend an auditor and not have the opportunity to candidly engage with all the responsible parties, then, I mean, it's really, the silence is really a sad state, a sad statement on a committee that's so critical, you know, to the state of Pacifica, where it's at right now. So that's all I have to say.
Okay. Jane, will you take over the chair, because I'd like to respond for a short statement.
I'm sorry, I cannot. I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
This is Margie. I just got on the call. I apologize for being so late.
Okay, well, the audience...
Robert, point of order.
Okay, Robert.
By definition, a committee meeting is a committee of the whole meeting. The chair can participate.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Thank you. Margie, this time we are live streaming and recording, and you will be able to get hear what you missed.
Okay.
Summer was on the committee for about 20 minutes, and she gave a lot of information, so you probably want to hear it directly, you know, as recorded.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'll listen to the recording.
Lawrence, I'd like to respond in the sense that I think Robert was right when he said that, you know, the primary interaction of the auditor during the audit is with basically with the management and not with the committee. I'm sure the auditor, as soon as the audit report is completed, will be very happy to meet and talk with the committee, both in open session and closed session, and give his candid opinion of what he thinks of our organization, and that will be entirely appropriate. That's what the auditors do after they have finished a report. They meet not only with the audit committee, but they will meet with the entire board of directors and reveal all. On June 11th, I was confronted with a situation where I really didn't, I've asked a number of people for advice on what to do about that. If the audit committee had been formed, I would have sent my summary report to all the members of the audit committee so that they would know what was going on. But audit was not functioning at that point in time. In any case, I'm finished. Robert, you were the last one on the stack. Had you spoken, or you just wanted to point up a point of order?
I just want to make a point of order, but if I'm the last one on the stack, I would say I think that your handling of the situation by addressing it to the executive director was perfectly appropriate. If there's money to get it paid, she's the one that would have control over that. The PNB could have a meeting and talk about it, but there's either money in the account or not money in the account, and so I think what you did was appropriate and apparently resolved the problem.
Well, all I did, I don't mean to have open discussion here, but all I basically did was prod management. I have no power over them. In any case, does anybody else want to get on the stack and speak?
Frank LeFevre.
Hey, Frank, you're next.
I may be just repeating what you said before, somebody said before, but I want to emphasize that the idea of the audit is it's an independent audit, sort of like jury, independent. They look at the evidence, and people don't follow them into the jury room and further with them. And as I understand it, the auditor felt uncomfortable about discussing his process as he's auditing because it might indeed compromise his independence or appear to. So I think we have to wait and see what the audit is.
Janet, back.
Janet, you have the floor.
Well, I basically agree with Frank just said, and I'm new to this committee, but it's my understanding that this committee does not have influence over the audit or input into the audit itself. The auditor is an independent, and so maybe we need to discuss that in the next meeting, basically clarify what the role of this committee is with respect to the audit.
Thank you, Janet. Anybody else? Robert, you have the floor.
Yeah, I would like to say there is a place in the process for input to the auditor, and that place is in the beginning of the process. After the auditor is selected, he should meet with this committee, and at that point we should raise any concerns we have so that during the audit process he can be looking for the things we're concerned about. But at this stage of this audit, it would be inappropriate.
I'm putting myself on the stack. I agreed to send off a set of questions to the auditor before the audit is completed. Does people want to make any comments on that? Because several people would like some questions answered about process, about certain specific points. You think it's appropriate that I email him some questions and see if we can get some responses? Somebody like to speak at this point?
Jane Gatewood for the stack.
Jane, you have the floor.
I think if that can be done, it might help a lot. I mean, there are a lot of concerns being raised here at WPSW, and I think that people would appreciate knowing that their specific questions were considered by the professional that we engaged to complete the audit.
Anybody else? Okay. We're now currently at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I have scheduled a executive session, but I don't know if people would like to proceed to that or not.
So this is William. I haven't heard about anything that would require executive session if we're going to talk about people or about the new auditor's contract or anything like that, so I don't think there's anything to go to executive session for.
Was that Robert or
William?
William. Okay. Thank you. Anybody else?
Peter, I also see no value in an executive session at this point.
Question to the chair.
Okay, Lawrence. What is the question?
Is there any information that you think that you want to share in the executive session? Is that why you're raising the issue, or is it simply because it's on the agenda?
I just brought it up because it's on the agenda. The information I shared with you just a few minutes ago, I would have preferred to do an executive session, but I don't think it was necessary.
Robert March stack.
Robert, you have the stack.
Yes. I would move that we suspend the rules and cancel the executive session and continue with the public session agenda.
Is there any objection? Okay, we have suspended the executive session and we're now moving to new business. There is a couple items under new business.
I think the orders of the day call for adjournment.
Well,
I moved that
the motion and it was approved.
I moved that
we continue with the agenda.
I moved that we spend time 10-15 minutes to conducting business.
Thank you, Lawrence. Is there any objection? We have an additional 15 minutes. Okay. can somebody, I didn't get everything that was put under new business. There was a couple items on new business. Can somebody refresh my memory? Hello?
Janet's back.
Okay, Janet, do you have the floor?
According to the notes I've been taking, we're supposed to, there was a request to discuss, have a preliminary discussion of a new auditor for next year, and then also discuss adding the May 22nd meeting recording to the archives.
Okay. Thank you, Janet, so much. Okay, so we're, the item we're on now is, I'm just going to allocate 5 minutes for a discussion of a new auditor, or not a discussion of a new auditor, but discussion of the committee making a recommendation on the current auditor. The recommendation can be either to retain or to replace.
Robert Mark Stack.
Hey, Robert, you're on.
Yes, I was the one that asked to put that on the agenda. Basically, what I wanted to discuss tonight is what is in past years the process for selecting an auditor? Do we, without soliciting other audit bids, can we just make a recommendation to retain the auditor? Or is there a bid process? Or how have we recruited auditors in the past? If there's anybody with the institutional history that could maybe update us on that, and it wouldn't have to be tonight. It might be, sent out in writing. But I think that would be the starting point, is to figure out what is the protocol.
This is Margie.
You have the floor, Margie.
Thank you. So I've only been on the audit committee for 2 years, but the first year I was on, we were dealing with an auditor who had performed several audits for Pacifica. Actually, I think that he had done some audits, and then we had like three or four, and then we had selected another auditor who did two, and then we hired this guy back again. And maybe he'd done I can't remember the history. But last year we decided to select a new auditor, and the wisdom on the ground is that you use an auditor for a few years, what I recall was like 3 to 5 years, and then you switch. That's sort of like the smart thing to do. And the way we solicited auditors was that the committee did, each committee member participated in a lot of investigation, and we found several audit firms that we thought sounded like we might want to work with them, and we sent them an RFP, we sent them a letter of something that was a request. A request for proposal. Thank you, Fred. And then we interviewed them, and we had, there was a committee that interviewed them, and then I think a group of three or four actually was interviewed by the entire audit committee, and we selected the current auditor. And I would think, I mean, I don't have a huge financial background, but I do have some experience in finance, and I did talk to a friend of mine who's the CFO for a very large union about this, and she said you really need to give an audit firm at least 2 and maybe 3 years before you consider changing, because it takes some time to get used to your organization and figure out, how things work and so on. And she thinks it's, approved by the state of California, and they have a license. She says it's a pretty rigorous process. And so that's what I have to say. I think we should just wait on it and see what happens with this audit. I mean, if it turns out that we're just horrified about this, the way this audit turns out, then maybe we'll do that again.
Thank you for being so thorough, Margie.
You're welcome.
I want to thank Margie and from last year, because the three people from KPFA did a substantial amount of work in the search for the new audit firm. Both Margie and Laura Privis and Aki Tanaka all found excellent firms that I talked to and sent our request for proposal to, and three of those firms actually gave us quotes and went through the complete process of including an interview where we made our selection. It turns out the firm that we selected, Armenio McKenna, is actually the largest nonprofit, our largest audit firm in California that specializes in nonprofits.
Point of order.
Yes.
Before I was concerned about the stream needing to be cut off before you went into executive session. Now I'm afraid that the stream has been cut off because the last information the streamer got was that executive session was 10 o'clock. So if we're not streaming now, we're in violation. So we should hang up and adjourn right now.
We're streaming.
Thank you.
Thank you, Otis. I was just giving a little background on the audit firm. It was quite a rigorous process. It took us, I think, 3 months last year to select an auditor. And I agree with Margie that if they're doing a good job for us this year, and we should really retain them. My concern is that how do we determine if they're doing a good job? Because the people that the auditor mostly deal with are our management. They don't deal with the audit committee directly. And so I think we have to have discussions with our management, our CFO and our ED, to find out what their opinions are of the audit firm. We have to look at, what the estimated cost was and what the actual costs of the audit are this year. So we have, it's premature to start talking about selecting an auditor or, making a recommendation to the board. But after the audit report comes out, that will be one of our tasks, our major tasks, before the end of the year, is to give a recommendation to the PNB as to what to do, if we should retain or reject this audit firm. That's my two cents.
Okay, Donald Stack.
Donald, you have the floor.
Thank you. It seems to me, so far the information we've heard tonight from you and from Summer are of rather significant gravity, and it seems to me that rather than trying to figure out whether we're going to replace this audit firm who has not yet completed its first year audit, we really need to start to talk about the implications of what this audit is going to reveal and what has already been revealed in this conversation about them not having been paid for some months, which meant that the audit was suspended, and the implications for the entire network and our financial viability. It seems to me that's the contribution this committee should be hoping to make to helping this network survive by examining the results of the audit and seeing what has gone wrong and how we can correct. That's it.
Jane Gabriel for the stack.
Jane, you have the floor.
I just want to second what I just heard from, I think it was that Frank?
Donald.
Donald, thank you. Yeah, I know that we were all aware last fall about the timing, and we were expecting that the bulk of the work would be done in January. We were very keenly aware of the limitations and challenges in the national office, and I think that we have an obligation to get some clear answers in terms of what occurred and what didn't occur, and provide a report to the PMV as factual as possible, and bring it into focus quickly. I just think that we really did everything we could to ensure that there would be a timely audit, and it's not happening, and I think that it isn't incumbent upon us to address that question quickly and to move on, as other people have recommended.
Robert, point of order.
Robert, you have the floor.
I believe time has expired.
You're probably correct. If I only gave 5 minutes, do people want to add another 5 minutes to this discussion? If I don't hear an objection, I'll add another 5 minutes, and I'll. Okay. Does anybody else want to have the floor? Hello.
No.
No?
Yeah, I'll take the floor.
Okay, all right. Got it.
You know, I'm hearing a lot of good information in regards to, you know, the way the auditor was hired. Then I'm hearing the suspension of the audit. Then I'm hearing Robert say, well, how do we determine which auditor to hire? You know, again, I haven't had the opportunity to, as Robert said before, at the start of the audit, to engage the auditor. It makes it very difficult for me to make a decision as to how to proceed in terms of selecting an auditor. So, and I would think that maybe I'm not the only one. That's all.
Okay. Robert, you have the floor.
Yeah, I would just like to agree with two points that were made. A, I don't think any further action is necessary until we see the audit report. And B, it is of concern that what you reported earlier concerning the payment of the auditor. So if it is the will of this committee that we just recommend retention of the auditor, somebody needs to keep their finger on the auditor's pulse to see if they want that work. Because if not, we all have to have an alternative plan.
Thank you, Robert. Anybody want to respond?
This is Jane Gatewood. Would it be totally out of order to ask that we to adjourn?
I think you can ask for adjournment at any time in the meeting. Does anybody object to adjourning?
Well, I'd like to, William.
Okay, you object, then...
I'd like to discuss that last item that I recommended.
You want to restate your item?
Yeah, I was to, and Otis apparently is listening, Otis McClay. It probably wouldn't be appropriate to ask them directly now, but we wanted to confirm whether that May 22nd audit committee meeting recording was still available. And if so, this is my motion. If so, put it in the archive.
Okay.
And if nobody wants to discuss it, we can go right to the vote.
I'm sorry. This is Margie. I came on late, and I don't know what this item is about. So if William or somebody could just explain.
Margie, the agenda that I sent out was amended to add to new business a discussion of the audio from the May 22nd Audit Committee meeting.
And why is that?
I don't know, because a couple of members would still like to hear that audio. The problem is, I think there was an email back and forth on that where Otis said that the meeting didn't take place and the audio is now gone.
I see. Okay. I get it. Okay.
The other problem with the May 22nd meeting... Uh-huh. And I would like to mention that that was a semi-executive session where Summer and our CFO, Raul, were telling us about the why the audit was delayed. And I don't think there was anything really confidential mentioned there, but I know that committee members have expressed an interest in, you know, being able to go back over that. And I think it's up to the committee where we want that, you know, posted.
William, put it back.
Yes, William, you have it.
Okay, I would change my motion if that would be allowed, if I could withdraw the original motion and make another bit different motion on the same subject.
Okay, you want... I'm sorry?
Yeah, I would, okay, I'll just go ahead with what I want to do. I want to withdraw my motion that I made and make a motion to say that if Otis can put it in whatever he referred to, our list, so that and we get instructions how to access it, that we could all evaluate it, and then maybe I'll make that motion again later at another meeting. But make it available for us to listen to.
So, William, your motion is that we ask Otis to go ahead and put it on the, what's it called? I don't know what
it's Margie, it's yeah. The KPFTX archive, and you have to, I have an account there. Excuse me.
Okay.
I have an account with a password. I can get at it, download it, and send it off to everybody if on the committee if that's the will of the committee.
Okay. Good.
Put it in mind. Yeah, he said he could put it somewhere.
So if that's the case, I'll request from Otis that the audio be uploaded.
And this was the May 22nd meeting, right?
Yes, the one that you came about an hour late to.
Right. Okay.
Point of order.
Yes.
So, William made this motion about Otis adding this audio somewhere where we can access it. Can we, and Fred, I believe you said that you would be able to put it somewhere where the committee could access it. Can we just go ahead with this motion to approve it or not?
Excuse me. Yes.
Point of information.
Go ahead, William.
That is Robert Mark.
Go
I just
ahead.
Want to make clear what we're discussing doing would prevent it from becoming public at this time. It's just available to us.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Is this available? It would only
if you
be
wanted
available.
To ask for objections.
It would only be available to members of this committee.
Brenda, for a point of clarification.
Go ahead, Brenda.
Okay. So, William, if I understand why you're withdrawing the motion, is it that you're saying you would like to the committee to review the audio and to see whether or not there was anything that we wouldn't be able to put in public session? And if that wasn't the case, you would propose it at a future date to have it available for the public, correct?
Correct. In other words, next meeting, once I hear it and everybody else hears it, maybe I'll bring that motion back to the next meeting.
William, am I understanding you correctly that the whole committee can listen to it, and we will then vote at the next meeting where we think it should be made public?
Correct.
Okay, is there any objection to this motion? Well, I guess the motion is passed. So, by the way, people on this committee can request a account on the kpftx.org archive and access these things themselves. But I'll act as a facilitator of that. And I'll see if I can get it as soon as possible.
Chair,
okay.
I move to adjourn.
I'm sorry?
I move to adjourn.
Is there any objection to adjourning at this time? I'm listening.
No.
Okay, we're officially adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.